Welcome to the Self-Esteem and Confidence Mindset with me, Johnny Pardo. Welcome back to the Self-Esteem and Confidence Mindset podcast with me, Johnny Pardo. Today, I welcome my friend Kat onto the show, where we're going to be talking about self-confidence, self-love, and much, much more. So an introduction to Kat. So Kat is a health and well-being coach, healer, and host and creator of the Wellbeing Wanderer podcast. Kat's on a mission to help those battling anxiety and self-doubt to find optimal well-being, feel happy, fulfilled, and in love with being alive. Loving the mission, Kat, and always get some great energy when we speak. So yeah, Kat, obviously welcome to the show today. So obviously you really like to help people get into these better states for themselves, or more improved states for themselves in like self-love, get away from self-doubt and anxiety. Be really useful for the listener, I think, to hear a little bit about what's actually got you into that, maybe a little bit about your story that's inspired you into this.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I started out my life being incredibly shy and absolutely petrified of being judged. I felt like I couldn't speak my truth. And yeah, I was just always very, very conscious of what I was saying. And I always felt like I was going to say the wrong thing. And just I don't know really where it came from, but just this chronic anxiety. And that's stayed with me for many, many years into adult life. And I also battled depression on and off throughout that time. And just this experience of self-loathing. And I've never really truly understood where that's come from. I've always just been like really like hypersensitive. And so, yeah, I don't know if I came out the womb that way or whatever, but yeah, I can't think of anything specifically that happened. But I spent years and years like battling with that and trying to overcome this lack of confidence and lack of belief in myself and this judgment from others. And so I spent until the age of 36, pretty much coaching myself out of that. And also putting myself in those really uncomfortable situations that would make me have to deal with like the social anxiety or whatever I was experiencing. So yeah, it's hard to really answer like where it came from, but I've always had it since I was very young. And, you know, I was so shy, I wouldn't talk to anyone. So the fact that I'm doing what I'm doing now and I have a podcast kind of blows my mind, actually. So yeah, I've come a really, really long way with it. And most of it is all self-taught.
Oh, wow. That's amazing, Kat. And I can see, I can certainly see why you want to, you know, share so much of what you've kind of overcome with other people. And yeah, for me personally, it's always an ongoing journey to battle some of these like internal challenges, never ending, I don't think, until, you know, we leave this world. But personally, what I've heard, what I've learned from my own experience. So yeah, I guess the kind of the social anxiety or kind of being the nervous about that, like there's quite a lot of people out there who get a little bit or socially nervous. Is there anything they can do to maybe take the pressure off themselves and maybe take a step forward with that, that's really helped you?
Yeah, I mean, for me, it really is about getting into your zone of discomfort. And I know people don't like hearing this, but it's literally that thing of 1, 2, 3, go. That's kind of what I tell myself. So I used to think of like, okay, there's this, I don't know, social scenario about to happen. I'm about to meet a group of people. I'm feeling really anxious about it. And so one trick that I like to do is I think, okay, what's the absolute worst thing that can happen here? So I think about, okay, how could this go really, really wrong? What's the worst thing that could happen? And of course, you know, you're never going to die. You're always going to be okay. And so also telling yourself that you're not going to die, I know that sounds hilarious, but it does actually help as well, because literally that could be the worst thing that would happen, right? And And so I kind of play out the scenario in my head. And then I remind myself that I don't want to be this person anymore and that I want to change, because you have to have that desire within you. And then I literally just take a deep breath and I just 1, 2, 3 go. So there's a really beautiful thing where when you don't overthink something, because what makes you anxious is when you start overthinking things and, you know, imagining all these things in your head that could go wrong, and you keep, you know, worrying and focusing on it. And actually the best thing I found is when you don't think about it. So you just get rid of that and you just draw your focus back inwards into yourself. Like for me, I might, you know, just focus on my breathing, for example, or listen to my heart beating. And I just draw my focus inwards. So I almost sometimes, it may sound a bit strange, I almost imagine like a shield around me. And I think, you know, I'm just focusing in on me right now. So I block out the outside world and then I just go 1, 2, 3, go, let's do it. Let's just go for it. Because the more that you do something that scares you, that you feel afraid of, and I'm sure you can relate to this, Johnny, as well, then of course the easier it's going to get, because every time you do it, your brain goes, oh, actually, you know what? That wasn't so bad. And so each time you're providing evidence for your brain and it's going to get easier and easier and easier, but it only works through taking action, through the doing and through the repetition.
I love that, Kat. And I think the question you said there, what's the worst case that's going to happen? And then, yeah, often it's weird. I remember reading this and actually analysing my own behaviours, and a lot of like the fears were coming down to like, you know, the typical fears of I'm not, you know, I won't be loved. And actually the deeper one was like, am I going to die, you know, because of that? And you know, seeing something like really, really minor in comparison in the grand scheme of things of life, and then actually that narrowing down to that fear of like, therefore, you know, not being lovable or not being enough, or therefore death, was actually like the root of it when I started like actually feeling into those things. So I really love what you said about there, that remind yourself you're not going to die, alongside, I may add, you know, telling yourself that but not taking any action, it's not going to change things either. So I love what you said about actually taking those steps. I mean, I was terrified of speaking to people, and well, similar, but more in kind of like meetings and professional meetings and stuff, like even saying my name, and actually just putting myself into meetings and uncomfortable situations really grew my confidence speaking. So yeah, totally resonate with what you say. I think that's an important reminder.
Yeah, and also like what you say there about that fear of rejection and not being loved, because it's like, yeah, all we want deep down is to be accepted, to be heard and to be loved. And so if there's anything that's going to threaten that, then it makes us feel very protective of ourselves. And yeah, it makes us feel very vulnerable and exposed. And of course, there is this whole self-love element to all this as well, which is like the next step, which I can talk about if you want me to go into that right now.
that is so brilliant, Kat. I was actually going to kind of steer that way, to be honest, with the self-love and the caring. So yeah, let's kind of just let it roll, and like anything you could really share on kind of the self-love, the care element for ourselves that's been useful for you.
Oh my God. Well, this is the foundation of it all, really. Like the love and acceptance of yourself is everything. And I know you know this, and you're smiling. I know you know this, because that's really where it comes from. It's about loving and accepting yourself first is what gives you your self-confidence, is what reduces your anxiety. And here's the thing, it's like when you love and accept yourself, then you're not going to be seeking that validation externally, right? So you're in control. And this is the really important thing with this work. And so if you feel full of love for yourself, you know, then you feel empowered. And yeah, you're not going to be chasing all these other things to give you that validation. So the self-love element is huge, and also in a nurturing sense as well. So if you have gone through something that's really upset you or traumatized you or triggered you in some way, it's so important to give yourself the love that you need, you know, nurture that child within you. We all know about the inner child. But yeah, if you don't do that, then yeah, that's when you start feeling really vulnerable, really upset. And again, you're relying on the external world and other people to provide you with that love and validation. And of course, you may have friends and family around that are going to give you a hug and tell you that everything's okay. But ultimately, if you can give that to yourself, then you're going to feel so much better and so much safer as well. So the self-love is everything. And a lot of people think that, you know, oh, if I spend all this time loving myself, it's going to make me selfish. But it is the most selfless thing you can do, because if you're able to love yourself and change your energetic state and feel so good within you, then that is going to be felt by every single one around you. And actually, you're going to be able to help others more if you're feeling really good in yourself. And I truly believe that it all really stems from this, because yeah, until I started really loving myself and not, you know, not just pretending to, but actually feeling that love within me. And it started for me through like exercise and physical health. That's when, yeah, I just felt so happy within me, and it just shifted me away from this anxiety and this self-doubt and this self-loathing. So yeah, it made me feel really good.
Awesome. I like what you said about the impact on others as well, and that kind of like radiates almost onto them. There's one thing you kind of touched on, was the inner child a little bit. Now, I know some people are familiar, some like less familiar with that. What's your experience with like any kind of like inner child work been? Has it been something that's been beneficial to you? Is it something you used much?
Yeah, you know, I would say actually, I do teach it, but I probably don't use it enough, if I'm being totally honest, and I should use it more. But for me, it's really just what I've done with it is more like the rewiring. So when you go back and you look at your conditioning and you understand, you know, when this thing happened that triggered, you know, the thing that triggers me now, when this thing happened, when it first originated, I was a child. Because 9 times out of 10, a lot of the reasons that we get triggered come from our childhood, because that's when we're more prone to be conditioned between the age of 0 and 7, right? So a lot of your stories and your beliefs and values about the world come from that time. And so what I found really amazing was when I went back and I realized that I'd formed this belief, this limiting belief, way back when I was a child about something. And I'd carried this belief through with me into my adult life. And what happens is, as you go into your adult life, it gets reinforced by events, circumstances that happen around you. It's almost like that's all you can see, basically. That's all you can see. And your brain will only see that. And so when you go back and you go, okay, so I was looking at this thing, but through the eyes of the child. So when I formed this belief, this was just my childlike perception of it. But actually, that's only one way of looking at it. And it doesn't have to be like that. And so what I found incredible and so liberating is when I was like, oh my God, I've been seeing it this way all my life, but I could have looked at it this way or this way or this way. And then you realize that you were just a child, and you were trying to make sense of the world that you didn't really know much about at the time, because you were just a child, right? And so that's where the love comes in. And then you can really start to forgive yourself for that and for having that belief and for thinking that way. Because sometimes also we can be very self-critical and very harsh on ourselves and tell ourselves we're being ridiculous for feeling this or thinking this. But quite often it's just our conditioning, and it's just because we form this belief so young. And so we must be very gentle and kind on ourselves there.
Like that. And yeah, looking, I like what you said about looking at it from a different perspective. Oh, I saw it in that way at that age, and therefore, and yeah, I found personally that it's like kind of, there's certain situations I get, like I've in the past, I've been like really activated. It's like this whole kind of like body, like fight or flight response. And then it's like, look, going deeper, and actually it was a belief formed as a child or a meaning, and therefore that's associated with danger, and this event is. So it's crazy how the human psychology works sometimes. And yeah, but looking at it from a different meaning, I really like what you said there. That's a really good point.
Yeah, definitely.
So I wanted to touch, I know a lot of people, and I've been there as well, maybe not severely, but like struggle with like anxiety and being anxious about things. I know you've obviously shared your story a little bit. Are there kind of any, I guess, like in the moment tools that you found useful when you're getting a little bit anxious? And are there any kind of tools, like proactive tools, for actually exploring and working with it like a little bit deeper that you found useful? Because I know there's a variety of ones. I was just really curious what's kind of worked for you or you use.
Yeah, with my anxiety, I think the most common thing that I hear from my clients is the overthinking. One of the best tools I found, which probably a lot of your listeners will know about, is being in the present moment. Okay, so one of the worst things that we do, especially overthinkers, is your mind is in the past, like going over events that have already happened and thinking about them, or you're worrying about a future that you have absolutely no control over, right? And so when you're in the present moment, that is life, literally, like you and me talking right now, this is the present moment. This is where we are. The past has been and gone. What I've just said has been and gone. Although hopefully I hope people remember it. And and the future's not here yet. And so actually we only exist right now in this moment. And you can't change the past. And as I say, you don't know what's going to happen in the future. So really, there is no point in putting your focus there. So a great thing to do is to bring yourself into the present moment. And that can be done in a number of ways. The way I like to do it is probably through like mindfulness. So just noticing that, you know, where I am, my surroundings, what's in front of me, what's happening, and not judging, but just noticing. And also turning my attention inwards as well, and just focusing on me as well. So I would notice everything around me and just quietly observe, you know, inside my mind, and then drawing my focus inwards. And what you can do is like focus on your breaths, for example. So just count to 10 with your breaths. So that can actually help calm you. So knowing that there's no control of your future and that you can't change your past, right? That's one thing. Another thing that's really helpful is to, for like a somatic practice. So to tell your body that you're not in your fight, flight, or freeze survival mode, right? So the way we get out of that is to calm our nervous system down. And a really quick biohack to doing that is by taking breaths, right? And I know you know a lot about breathwork, right? And I've done many breathwork classes, but this is just very simple. Maybe people have heard of this. It's called the 4-7-8 technique. So you just breathe in for 4, you hold for 7, and you breathe out for 8. And so the idea is, well, the idea, the theory, how it works is that if you take an exhale longer than an inhale, that actually tells your nervous system that you are calm. And then that makes you feel safe. Because when we're in an anxious state, then we are in that fight, flight, survival mode, right? And it actually disables our rational thinking as well. So we can't think clearly. And so you end up with all these thoughts like buzzing around your head. and you literally can't calm down. So you want to get your body into that state. I mean, there's loads of things I could talk about here. Also, other somatic practices like shaking, right? Because everything is energy. So actually shaking off the negative energy, which is something animals do in the wild. So like if a deer hears a gunshot and it runs away, you will see the animal shaking like this because it knows instinctively it needs to move that energy through it and out, right? So shaking works, and just kind of like what's the word, like bouncing, like up and down, and just like, yeah, it's hard to kind of explain, but that can also be a way of moving the energy through you and out. And then preemptively, to reduce anxiety, I cannot recommend meditation and stillness practice enough, because the reason that we're anxious mainly is because we are overthinking. As I said, you've got all these thoughts coming to you. So you really want to transmute those thoughts. You want to move them through you and out, right? So meditation is a beautiful, fantastic way of doing that. And there are so many other benefits to meditation. But when you do that, you naturally let the thoughts come and you observe them. And because you've observed them, they're then able to go, because everything is energy, and literally a thought just wants to be acknowledged. That's all it wants. It just wants to be acknowledged because that's its job. It wants to exist. And as soon as you acknowledge it, you dissolve it and it moves through you and out. And so that creates more space inside of you. And it helps you to feel a lot lighter, a lot calmer. You're releasing a lot of that negative energy. You can also do this through journaling out your thoughts as well. That can really help. I mean, there's so many different ways. But yeah, I think my personal favorite is probably meditation. And then after a while, you will just naturally start to feel calmer. And it's the strangest thing, because I used to be such an anxious person. And I will notice a day when I've meditated and a day when I've not meditated. Actually, I meditated before this podcast as well, before this episode. So,
love it.
So yeah, and it just gets rid of all those thoughts and creates more space, and yeah, you just feel more energized, more uplifted, and so much calmer.
Oh, love it, Kat. Plenty of golden nuggets in there with the variety of tools, and yeah, the meditation one can be really beautiful. There's different ways as well that people do it. So, Kat, thank you so much for everything you shared. I know we could go a lot more into these subjects, and there's our conversations usually last a lot longer. But yeah, like before we kind of wrap up, there's many, but what would be your number one confidence tip that you'd like to leave the listener with? And also, if the listener would like to find out more about your work, get some more of what they've heard in this podcast, where can they find you?
Yeah, so my number one confidence tip, right?
Yeah.
It would be to feel the fear and do it anyway.
Ooh, like it.
Feel the fear and do it anyway, absolutely. Don't overthink it. 1, 2, 3, jump. 1, 2, 3, go. Just do it. Like Nike says. Where can everyone find me? Many places. My website, www.wellbeingwanderer.com, spelled WAND, or The Wellbeing Wanderer on Instagram. Yeah, those are probably the two best places. And obviously you can head on over to my podcast to hear me chat on more about all this sort of stuff, which is The Wellbeing Wanderer podcast.
Brilliant. Well, we'll be sure to link all of those things up in the show notes so this can find you. Once again, Kat, a massive thank you for coming on today.
Thank you for having me. I've really enjoyed it.
Awesome. Me too. So that concludes our episode for today. And remember, you are in control of your own self-esteem and confidence.